Hello and welcome everyone. Thank you all for joining me this week. And so I thought we'd start this evening by going inward and just taking some deep, full belly breaths. Letting go of the day, letting go of the week. And fully arriving right here. And the beauty and the aliveness of this present moment. And so I invite you to unhook from your mind, unhook from your emotional world, and simply notice. Notice what's alive right here. Notice this quiet space of divinity in the center of your heart. Can you notice this gentleness, this innocence? This flow of radiance which is here. And so will you join me in letting go? And letting go into this quiet innocence. And letting go into this tenderness and divinity. Can you relax the lower belly? The pelvis, the pelvic floor, the shoulders, the face, the arms, the hands, the back. Yes, just join me. Join me in this letting go. Join me in surrendering into the fullness of what you are. We spend so much of our life in such a limited way. Such a limited way. Chasing this thought or this emotion. But right now, if you come into your heart, what's here? Are you in touch with this innocence, this spaciousness? an incredible sense of freedom. Or is there something else? Something else covering your heart, covering your divinity? And if that's the case, can we meet this too with love? Can we open to this and see, what is this? What is this pain or this heaviness which is covering my heart? What is this confusion which is in the space of my mind? So whatever is coming forward, we're just gently meeting it with love. We're breathing in and breathing out. We're embracing the heartache or the sadness, the fear, the guilt. Or if you feel nothing plaguing you, you're embracing your absolute divinity. Either way, the work is the same. We're sitting, we're opening. Fully feeling, fully acknowledging what's here. And so if you're feeling this precious spaciousness, this wonderful innocence, if you're feeling this incredible grace, then beautiful. If you're feeling pain or sadness or hurt, well, let this be a moment of compassion, where we are acknowledging both the beauty of our heart, the hugeness of our heart, as well as that which is covering. That which is covering the heart. And so whatever is here, we're breathing in, we're breathing out. And giving ourselves permission to directly experience our own true nature. And so as we open this up more, you can just notice the space of our crown chakra. We bring our intention there. Can you notice this gentle sense of aliveness? This flow of divinity? A gentle feeling of grace coming into us as we all join together in this way. Perhaps just a very quiet, very subtle feeling of radiance in the crown, coming into the crown. As you open and include the space of the third eye, the space of the mind, you may notice this profound sense of peace there, in depth. sense of vast emptiness. Even if you're having lots of thoughts, can you notice that these very thoughts arise out of emptiness? The sound of my voice arises out of this space of emptiness. And what is your experience like when you let go into this emptiness? When you give yourself permission not to think about anything? To be like a child on a warm summer night, just walking out and letting go into the hugeness of the dark black sky. And so as we taste this, as we enjoy this experience together, the space of the throat chakra, can we inwardly smile? Can we open this doorway? Can we allow God to flow down through the crown, through the space of the third eye, through the throat and into the heart? Can we allow our true nature to wake up everywhere, everywhere in our subtle energetic body? So as we relax our shoulders more fully, give our heart permission to open, fully open, fully let go. May even imagine ourselves again being a child, but on a warm summer day, just running. Running through a meadow just full of mountain flowers. Big smile, radiant beauty, supreme innocence. Can we open and say yes to life? Yes. Yes to life. Yes to what's here. Yes to this moment. And can we allow this radiance to spread? To spread throughout our being. Wonderful, beautiful radiance of our own heart space. Can we allow it to spread? Throughout our chest, throughout our belly, throughout our pelvis, into our legs and our feet, to our arms, our hands, our spine. We allow the belly, the solar plexus, to fully open, fully relax. And yes, feel this quiet sense of aliveness, this quiet sense of beauty there in the space of the belly, the solar plexus, letting go of any angst or any tension. which tends to live in the solar plexus. Can we smile and breathe deeply? Breathe in and breathe out. Come deep, deep into the hara. The space a couple inches below the belly button, but deep within toward the spine. Can you feel a sense of rootedness, a sense of power there? A sense of yes, I am committed. I am committed to this spiritual path. I'm committed to a path of growth, a path of healing, the path of embodying this divine light, this divine love. And so we're opening, we're breathing. Allowing the breath to draw us deeper into the pelvis. Even imagine the breath is drawing all the way down into the earth. Even imagining we are growing roots out of our feet, connecting to the Divine Mother in the earth, connecting to all of creation, sharing in this energy of love, of light, of strength, of oneness, and sending something wonderful, sending something quite wonderful out to everyone and everything on this planet. But even imagine yourself feeling as if you're a grand conduit of light. This light, a heavenly light, is coming down from above, pouring down into you through all seven chakra centers, through the head, heart, belly. Descending down into the earth at this grand conduit of divinity is mixing with, is merging with your own divinity, your own true nature, and all of us together are shining light out to the world, blessing ourselves and blessing the world. The world certainly needs it. The world certainly needs it. And so, yes, thank you for joining me in this space of meditation. Thank you for committing this time together and being with me in this open-hearted way, in this deep and profound way, where we are directly experiencing life together. Thank you for taking the time and saying yes. Yes to this Sangha. Yes to this group. Yes to this community. It brings a great joy to my heart to feel joined in the space of love with all of you. And I can say that I had a pretty tough week. My daughter, she got sick, and then I got sick, and so we had a tough run this week. And so for any of you, if I missed your emails or had to cancel an appointment with you, or if I didn't respond to your questions, please forgive me, and please resubmit them, because I just got all backed up on my emails and missed some of the business, just through being under the weather. And so anyways, I'm going to invite anyone to bring forth a question, and I have a number of questions that came in as I was signing in this evening. And one of the questions really brought a smile to my mind. It was actually a number of questions that I kind of merged into one, but there was a number of people within the community, and they were struggling in relationship with their partner, whether it's their husband or their wife. And I think we had a little bit of both this week. And I was listening to Thich Nhat Hanh speak, and he said this funny thing about marriage, about being in relationship. He said, in Thailand, before you choose to get married, you choose to spend the year in meditation. You choose to spend the year practicing mindfulness. You choose to spend a year working on your shadow and healing yourself. And that really made me smile. Because my God, what if we all had done that? Wouldn't our relationships be much easier if we learned how to heal ourselves? And sometimes when I say that, heal ourselves, there's a feeling of being like strong and independent, and oftentimes people even mistake that teaching of healing oneself, and they think about reading a bunch of self-help books and taking care of, sometimes I hear people say this, it's a word I don't like to use, but they say, I need to take care of all this shit within me. And I say, my God, is that the wrong way of saying it? Because what we're speaking about is an inner child. We're speaking about a child. And so when we look at a child within us, when we look at an ego who has a broken heart, when we look at a kid who's got their butt kicked by life, we don't want to refer to that kid as having shit or being full of shit. I think when I was young, sometimes I'd tell these stories to my dad. I'd make up stories and he used to tell me I was so full of it that my eyes were brown. And so, but he said it with a smile. But oftentimes when I hear people say this, there's a little bit of resentment. And so we want to have a sense that when we're spending our year of mindfulness, which we may have to spread out over many years, but we're working with ourselves with loving kindness. We're working with ourselves with gentleness. We're remembering that there's someone here in pain. And if someone's in pain, they heal through being loved. Through being loved, through being embraced, through being listened to and acknowledged. But I'll say this, but not always believed. And by that I mean, so I'll be really clear here. Many of us have experienced great pain, and so if our mind is agitated, it's important to listen to the agitation, to validate the agitation, but not necessarily believe the story that comes with the agitation. Because normally the story is, this is too much, I can't handle this. This person is bad or this person is wrong. And so especially, I guess if we're dealing with ourselves or we're dealing with another, I guess it's the same both ways, but can we listen? Can we listen to ourselves with loving kindness? And so one person, they wrote in to me, they said, Craig, my wife started having panic attacks. And she ended up in the hospital. What can I do for her? I said, well, go to the hospital. Hold her hand. Listen to her. Now, when someone's having a panic attack, oftentimes they believe that they're dying or they're drowning or that they can't handle the pain. And so you listen to them. You listen to their struggle. But you don't ever believe that they can't handle it. Because if you start to believe they can't handle it, if you believe that they're broken when they're laying there in the hospital bed, you lose faith in them. You lose faith in your partner. And what's healing is if we can listen and have faith. Have faith in ourselves or have faith in our partner. Have faith that they will heal. Have faith that their true nature is unharmed by this panic. Yes, like what Cindy is saying is true. Like when we have this anger within us, we acknowledge it. I know you are here. I know you're there, and I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And so it's such a beautiful thing when we can just be present, when we can meet ourselves with loving kindness. When we can breathe into the fear, the sadness, the heartache. If our partner is freaking out or having a really hard time, they're just being really, angry or disgruntled. Can we listen and not correct them? Oftentimes what we will find is that after listening to them fully, from the space of loving kindness, the space of compassion, they actually relax. They actually relax. And then they start becoming more rational. And then they start thanking us. Then they start seeing that we are on their same team. And yes, Jay, it's so true that sometimes, especially with men, men tend to tell people how to do it. Actually, men's brains are wired. The male brain is wired that when there's confusion, especially confusion from a woman, that a man will be there and just tell her exactly how to do it, what she's doing wrong, or correct her. And there's been so many studies. Yeah, let me show you. That comes up too. There's been so many studies that say if you just listen, that's enough to heal. That's enough to heal the flames of anger or the heartache of sadness. Can we just listen? Can we just listen? Now, most people, instead of listening, they're busy correcting, busy judging, busy not listening, and trying to overtalk, shout over the other person and say what they are doing wrong. And when we are in pain, we don't need someone to tell us what we're doing wrong. What we need is someone to listen to us. And so through the practice of meditation, that's a time for us to listen to our own self. And say, I hear you. The funny thing is when we really heal ourselves, then our mind becomes very quiet, very silent. Very silent. But the quality of listening that I'm speaking about, it's different. It's radically different than the kind of listening that people do. Most people, they listen in a way where we're listening to the details of the story, we're engaging in the story, we're arguing with the story, we're repeating the story over and over again. And stories repeat themselves actually because our mind knows that our heart is not fully present. Our heart is not fully listening. When your heart fully listens to pain, there's no reason to repeat the story again and again. But if the mind is listening, because the mind isn't inherently healing, then the story just repeats itself again and again and again, and it feels like a broken record within us. It's actually quite painful when we just listen with our mind. It actually feels like violence, you know, just repeating the same story again and again. But if you can honor the pain that's within you and just listen, breathe in, breathe out, and feel what's here. It's a funny thing. The story releases itself. The pain releases itself from your consciousness. And so the way we listen, it's not just to the words, not just to the stories, but we listen on the level of feeling. On the level of feeling. I was sitting with my wife this week, and she had some family come into town, and there was a little bit of drama with the family, and as I listened to her, tears began to come. Not only from her eyes, but from my eyes as well. Because as I was listening, I felt her pain. I felt the pain of the family members. I felt the pain of the confusion. And then it simply emptied out of me. And I didn't think about it anymore until this moment. And so many of us, we are afraid of feeling. But to walk this path of freedom, this path of loving kindness, we cannot be afraid. We cannot be afraid of any feeling. For if we are afraid of feelings, well, then we are a slave to those very feelings. And they control us. And so most people practice meditation in a way where they try to avoid feeling. But one of the great definitions of freedom is the freedom to feel fully, to experience fully, to allow fully, to acknowledge fully. Most people like being free of. Being free of pain, being free of sadness, being free of anger. And sometimes if we sit and just breathe in and breathe out and focus on the space of the third eye or the belly, and ignore our life, we may learn to access deep and profound realms of peace, deep and profound realms of emptiness. But what you will find is when you're done with your meditation, oh, your humanity is just waiting right there for you. Waiting right there for you. You know, for many years I practiced in this way, where I'd focus on a chakra center and breathe in and out and open to these incredible realms, these holy realms, these divine realms. And then afterwards, when I was done with my meditation, I realized that my emotions were right there, waiting for me. Waiting to be loved. Waiting to be acknowledged. Waiting to be felt. Many people don't know if you just simply feel an emotion fully, the emotion will just empty out of you. Empty out of you. Emotions stay as long as they're not being felt. But when they're felt, the body shakes, it trembles, we cry. Or if it's something like anger, we may feel like a volcano. And it simply empties out of us. It's a beautiful thing when we can meet ourselves from a space of total openness. Yes, and so Suzanne here is asking about this story. This story repetition also occurs on a larger scale, doesn't it? And many personal dramas expands into themes of life stories, which become family and ancestral stories. Yes, absolutely. I can remember for many years of my life, I had this feeling of absolute poverty that just kept coming forward again and again in my consciousness. A feeling of almost like being starved. Never having enough, even though I did have enough. It was, in a sense that any of us, most of us here who live in the United States or the Western world or the European nations, we live like kings compared to, our brothers and sisters in Africa or India or different parts of Asia or even Latin America. And so I noticed this story, this that just kept coming again and again. It kept showing up in the space of my meditation practice and even just driving down the road, this feeling of almost like being starved. And there was one day when I was just sitting really deeply in meditation, and I saw my grandmother's face. I felt her pain. Now she had been, when she was quite young, her mother died. And so she was put in a boarding school. And it was like once a year she would get a new dress and a new pair of shoes. Once a year her father would come and visit her. And so she lived at this, very poor boarding school. And she wasn't, properly fed. She lived, almost like an orphan. And as I fell into this more, and I felt on my, that was on my mother's side, but on my father's side, my father, he too had been put into like an orphanage, a home for boys, and their parents couldn't take care of them or didn't want to take care of them any longer. And so I felt his pain there as well. And then even as I felt back further, I felt the pain of my Irish ancestors, the pain of not being able to feed the children, not having enough food in the community. Yes, the great potato famine. I felt such a sadness, such a heartache. But more and more as I breathed into this and began to flood this feeling of famine, flood it with grace, flood it with love, flood it with this overwhelming abundance of peace and support. And I began to feel this famine heal from the inside out. That this feeling of starving could end with me. I don't have to pass it on to my children. In fact, I can say I work with many individuals who are either children of the Holocaust or the grandchildren of the Holocaust. And they experience so much pain. so much anxiety and fear. And we breathe in and breathe out, calming the fear, bringing security where there is a feeling of insecurity. And so if we truly are going to be Christ-like, if we are truly are going to be bodhisattvas in this world, if we truly value love and the movement of love, then we breathe into everything. We embrace everything. We include everything. We're not just on this path in order to escape. For if we are, what difference is that? How different is that than living an egoic consciousness which just wants to seek pleasure and avoid pain? How different? There are many of us, in the beginning of the spiritual path. Yes, we. Of course, we just want to be free. Of course, we just want to experience heaven. Of course, all of us, want to experience bliss and openness and joy. And so we walk forward into the light. We walk forward into love. But if we want this bliss and this love to be persistent, persistent, then we have to know how to work with pain. We have to know about compassion. We have to know how to heal ourselves through breathing in and breathing out. We have to take responsibility for this human life and everything within it. There was something within me that took responsibility for my father's pain, my grandmother's pain, for the pain of the Irish that was coming through me. There was something within that took responsibility for that. That Irish alcoholic, that lives in this body, that lives in my ancestors. And say, I'm going to meet all of this with love. And the more I meet this with love, then the more space there is within me to experience greater and greater realms of bliss, of love, of happiness and joy. There's more space within us. More space within us. And so, yes, this next question is a very long email I got. I'm going to see if I can sift through it, but I believe it's from Santosh in India. And he writes, he's always too polite to me. He calls me Guru Ji. And so if any of you don't know, Guru is the one who brings us out of darkness and into light. And then Ji is like an extra add-on. For someone who's holy, a holy person. And so the first thing I'm going to do is correct you, Santosh. So please don't call me Guruji. I'd like to be thought of as just a normal human, just like you, just like me, just like anyone walking down the street. It actually makes me feel quite uncomfortable when people shower me with these titles. I reserve these titles for the great beings like Amici or Christ. But one thing I heard Thich Nhat Hanh say, he said, the beautiful thing about the Buddha is he was just a man. He was an ordinary man. And there's something really wonderful about that. I studied with all these teachers and they were incredible masters. When I looked at them, I thought, I could never be like them, for they are so great. They have these cities, they have incredible mastery over themselves and their lives. They walk with this incredible dignity. When you sit in the room with them, these incredible heaven worlds are transmitted from their very presence. And that's a wonderful thing. But it's also nice just to be human. and not have to be not have to be such an incredible being in the world. It's nice just to be ordinary. To be ordinary. For all of us in our ordinariness. If we truly open to it and discover what's there, there's this gentleness, incredible innocence, incredible divinity right here in the ordinary, in our ordinary nature. And so I like being ordinary. I like being anonymous. I like people not knowing who I am when I walk down the street. And so, let me see if I can get to your question, Santosh. Yeah, so Santosh is writing that he's having some trouble finding a job, and he wants a job that's in alignment with his heart. And I believe this is something we all want, is we want to work in a way which is in alignment with our heart and in alignment with the gifts that God has provided with us, provided to us. And so, for example, within my own self, I knew when I was quite young that I was going to be a teacher and a counselor. I knew those were my gifts. I knew that's what I was wired for. And of course, I knew I wanted to live a holy life. I wanted to live a life with God in the forefront of my consciousness. I knew that I would never be happy just working, at a job at an office. There was many jobs I did have, growing up that were fun. I worked at a bakery and that was a good time. I worked at a old folks home and I used to spend time just interacting with the old folks and for a long time I worked for my teacher, doing building and building retreat houses and gardens and taking care of the people on the retreats and this and that. But I knew that I would never truly be happy. Never truly be happy until I was doing what I loved, doing what I was meant to do here on earth. And so one of the things that we have to do is we have to be willing to sit quietly and see what is my gift? What is the unique gift that God has given me? What is the unique gift? And so there's all these old teachings about not being a body, not being a mind. But see, this is not a moment for that teaching, Santosh. This is a moment for you to look at your mind, look at your heart, and see what is good, what is true about you. And if you're having trouble finding work, first you discover what is my gift. And then you pray to God. You pray to life. You open to life and say, Life, you show me the way. You bring me into alignment with your will. If you gave me this gift, you must also, life, you must also, God, have a place for this gift to be expressed. There must also be a place for this gift to be expressed. For God has made this world. God has made you. And God did not make us just so we could come here and all be monks and try to get rid of ourselves the entire time. And so one of the things that I find in individuals, people who oftentimes when we're having trouble finding work, it's because we have old school spiritual beliefs which are eternally renouncing this world. Where we're trying to make ourselves monks and nuns. Yet God doesn't want us to be a monk or a nun. God wants us to share our divinity. Share our divinity. Share our beauty, share our wonder, share our grace in this world. Why did God make this play of Maya? Did she just make it as a dream for us to ignore? That would seem silly. That would seem like a waste of a dream, a waste of all of our lives. And so, he goes on, and he has some questions about this. His chakra centers, and one of the great ways we can get in touch with our chakra centers is, yes, through meditation, yes, through acknowledging what's within us, yes, to open to the heaven worlds, which are in each of the chakra centers. But another way of connecting with our chakra centers is simply feeling into our hearts and feel what's good, what's true here, what gift is here, what strength is here, what love is here, how does this love want to shine, how does it want to show up through me? Many of you know my friend Rick Archer, and when I look at him, he started Buddha at the gas pump. He has this gift of being just an incredible networker. He connects people, connects groups of people. He connects spiritual teachers with groups of individuals who resonate with that particular teacher. That's one of his gifts. It's a beautiful thing that he has. He said he doesn't have the teacher within him, but he is the connector, and it's so true. There's some people who are very precise, and they have the gift of being precise, of being an accountant or being exact, being able to find what's wrong or difficult. And so we must look within our own self and see, what is it? What's within us? What is our gift? How does it want to manifest? And oftentimes the funny thing about our gift is, God normally gives us a gift and then a challenge. And so we may have a gift to be a great artist, but then we're born into a family where art is not valued, where only accounting is valued. And so God gives us this challenge because she is inviting us to have faith in ourselves, learn to have faith in ourselves. Learn to believe in ourselves. Learn to say yes to our gift, yes to our truth, despite what the outward world is telling us. And the funny thing is after we overcome this challenge, what we find is then everything falls into place. And then all of a sudden people are buying our art. They are coming to our class. They are showing up in our office. But if we don't fully believe in ourselves, and if we're too busy believing the story of samsara, then we fail the test, and then we have to come back and do it again and again. And that's okay. That's okay. Sometimes, some of us are stubborn, and we need to come back. And we live in this evolutionary world, and we're given many opportunities. So no way do I want anyone to think that if we mess up once, that's the end of it. We're given many opportunities. I can say that throughout my life, I failed miserably so many times. But there was something within me that just said, just go forward. Just go forward. And so Santoshi goes on and on with this email, and he wrote about having back pain. And yes, one of the things I find is, if we resist life, if we're not working, if we struggle with finances, these are our first and second chakra issues, it tends to lead to back pain. If we argue with life, if we're arguing with our tribe, if we're arguing with our family system, we tend to have pain in the first and second chakra, along with the heart, along with the heart. But again, if we do have this pain, we must meet it with love. We must believe in ourselves. We must be willing to give up our argument with life. And sometimes that means we just go out and get any job. Any job. And yet simultaneously, we build up. We have a part-time job doing our gift, and then we have a full-time job doing our whatever the job is that life is making us. And that's another way we build up a sense of faith. And there's many movie stars who started off as a waiter or a waitress. And so they're a waiter, and then at nighttime they're going to the auditions. And they're doing that because they believe in themselves, and they never give up. And they say, yes, yes, I will never give up on myself. I will choose to have faith in myself, to have faith in my own divinity. And it's a beautiful thing when an individual has faith in themselves. One of the greatest ways of developing this faith is through spending time in meditation and just noticing how beautiful your heart is. Through investigating the other six chakra centers and noticing how beautiful this divinity is that I am. It's so important, especially if you're struggling, that you are experiencing yourself as a child of God. A child of God. Even if you're experiencing suffering and pain, can you dedicate yourself to the practice of opening and see that there's something beautiful within you, something good, something absolutely wonderful, something uniquely divine? What a gift it is to come in and to discover this and say, yes, what I am is good. What I am is good. And so, yes, thank you all for joining me this evening. Thank you all for all your questions and for showing up. And thank you those of you who have been offering your donations on my website, CraigHolliday.com, and visiting the PayPal link or the donations link. Thank you. It means a lot to me to support the teachings. And I'll say this. This is one of the things that many of my Buddhist friends used to say to me. They talk about dana. Dana is this willingness to support the teachings, that the teachings are offered free. But then there's a willingness in the students to support the teachings. And sometimes we support the teachings through financial means, sometimes through kind words, through sending love, through sharing the teachings with others, through volunteering, in whatever way it is. You know, the biggest way I ask you to share is just to embrace the teachings, to share them with others, to share your heart, share your beauty with the world. Of course, financial donations are greatly appreciated and greatly helpful, and I thank you for those. It keeps this, keeps these classes going, keeps me in business. And so thank you so much for those. May you all have a wonderful evening. May all your hearts be filled with love. May all of you share your love with this world. Thank you all so much, and have a wonderful evening. Good night.